Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be speaking about Jesus the Healer here in just a minute from Luke 4, 17. And open your Bible there. But first, I want to give you an update on what's happening over here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. And we have 35 children now in our children's home. We're preparing them to go back to school next week. And so we have a lot of school fees to pay. We appreciate your support to help us do that, get the children back in school. In Kenya, there is no such thing as a free public school like we have in America. All the schools here are either boarding schools. Probably half or more of the students in Kenya go to boarding schools. And then the other half go to public schools, but they pay fees also. They're not free. And so as a result of that, many poor people are burdened down with school fees. Many cannot afford to send their children to school. And so you have children walking around on the streets. You have children in the villages who don't have fees and money to go to school. And so that's a very sad, sorry situation here in this country. And so that is a prayer need and a mission need to have fees to send all of our children to school. We also are making plans for a crusade in Tanzania, hopefully. We haven't got the details nailed down yet, but we're hoping to go back to Tanzania in January. And if that doesn't come to pass, we'll be going to Congo or to Burundi. Where we have invitations to go, and we've got some time yet to work all this out. So be in prayer about that. Our crusades, we are shut down here in Kenya for now. No big meetings, no public meetings because of COVID, except for the politicians. They can get together whenever they want. But as far as church meetings and crusade meetings, nothing of that sort happening in Kenya at this time. Well, let's look at the scripture, Jesus the Healer. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was in the synagogue and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah in Luke 4, verse 17. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Well, that's a powerful, powerful scripture, and Jesus is prophesying about himself. This is at the first part of his ministry, after he has been out in the wilderness area and faced off with the devil, after he has been baptized by his cousin John, John the Baptist, in the Jordan River. And Jesus gets up in the synagogue and he says these words and prophesies this over his ministry. And he is saying words that were spoken by the prophet Isaiah 800 years before Jesus walked the earth. And so Isaiah was given a glimpse of the Messiah. Isaiah was given a revelation of the Messiah, and this is the part of God's plan that includes healing. This is the part of God's plan where Jesus is to come and set the captives free. And so he says these things about himself that indicate to us that part of Jesus' mission, part of his blood offering, covers us for healing of our sicknesses and our infirmities. And so the first thing that indicates that, it says he has come to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, the poor, generally speaking, at least here in Kenya, and I'm sure to some extent in every nation in the world, the poor generally do not have money to go see the doctors. They don't have money for surgeries. They don't have money for medicines every single day, just about, here in Kenya. Somebody approaches me or contacts me. They need money for medicine. They need money for surgery. They need money to send their loved one to the doctor. And so this is a hallmark or a characteristic of poor people all over the earth, that poor people just don't have the medical care. We are so blessed in the USA to have great medical care, and most people have insurance. They don't have to bear the cost up front or right away when they go to the doctor. And so we are supremely blessed in the USA with our healthcare plans, with our doctors, with the training and the facilities we have, the medical facilities, the hospitals. And so as Jesus preached the gospel to the poor, he said that he also came to heal the brokenhearted. Well, you say, well, a broken heart, does that manifest in sickness? It certainly does. When people have broken hearts and their soul is fractured, they have broken hearts for one reason or another, maybe because of disappointment in relationships or disappointment in life's goals or life's dreams. And so a broken heart can lead to sickness. And so Jesus said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. And so that is the second mission that he proclaimed. And then the third thing, he said, I came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, what did he mean by that? Those who are captivated by the spirit of the Antichrist or the agenda of the Antichrist are captivated by drug addiction, they're captivated by alcohol addiction. Cigarette addiction is a very powerful addiction that eventually makes people very sick and causes lots of cancers. Alcohol addiction obviously makes people very sick, causes lots of cancers and different kinds of sickness, cirrhosis of the liver, and different ailments like that. And any kind of addiction to substances that cause destruction of the body eventually becomes a very serious issue. And the addiction itself, or the bondage to that, the bondage to that sin, the bondage to that iniquity, eventually leads people into physical and oftentimes mental infirmities that they have to deal with in one way or another. So Jesus said, I came to proclaim liberty to the captives. And beloved, if you are out there listening to me today and you are in captivity to some type of addiction, it may be pornography, it may be alcohol, drugs, it may be some legal drug or some legally prescribed drug. If you're in bondage to that and you are captivated by that, you can be set free by the blood of Jesus. My testimony, many of you have heard it, had to do with being in captivity by alcohol and drugs. It wasn't for a long period of time, but for me, it was a very destructive thing in my life, and I knew I had to get out of it. I knew I had to break the chains of it, but I didn't have the ability and I didn't have the willpower on my own to break the chains that were holding me. And that's true for just about all addictions. If people had the willpower and the ability to get out of it and break the chains, we wouldn't need all of these drug treatment and alcohol treatment centers all over the country. And so we know that these powerful addictions take people down. They destroy their life, they take their money, and they destroy their family relationships and other relationships. And so addictions and bondage can be very, very destructive in a people's life and eventually lead people to suicide and very destructive behavior. And so if that's you today, turn to Jesus. If that's you today, I urge you and I beg you, turn to Jesus, submit to him. You may want to go to a treatment center to get things started, but beloved, get in the Bible, start reading God's word. He sent his word to heal them. And so you can be healed reading the word of God. You can be healed in prayer. You can be healed in fellowship with other saints who have the same kind of problems or who have come out of those problems. Their testimony will give you encouragement. Their testimony will give you strength. Get in a good Bible-believing church and start walking with the people in that church and humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you, he will strengthen you, and Jesus breaks the chains and gives liberty to the captives today, just like he did in the day when he stood up and he spoke this scripture. So if that's you today, avail yourself of the power of Jesus to break the chains off of your life. Well, the fourth thing he spoke was recovery of sight to the blind. This can be taken a couple of different ways. One, natural or physically. He gives sight to the blind. I've seen it. I prayed for a man over in Kilifi in Kenya a few years ago. He came to the meeting and he was accompanied by someone who was leading him around because he could not see to take even a few steps in front of him. And then I prayed for him, laid hands on him, and prayed for him. The very next morning, they called me early in the morning and said the man is starting to see, and he's seeing lights and colors and moving images in front of him. And so God was giving him a healing even as he went. And just recently in a crusade in Tanzania, we had a lady that was 100% blind, and she came and we laid hands on her and prayed for her. And the next day she gave a testimony that she was starting to see lights, she was starting to see colors, and she was starting to receive her vision back. And so that is the first way that he gives sight to the blind, is in the natural, in the physical. And the second way that Jesus was talking, that he was giving sight to the blind, is those who could not see their salvation, those who could not see that the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus would open their eyes to see that the kingdom of God is at hand. And beloved, the very same thing happens today. The kingdom of God is at hand. Salvation is available to you. I hope that the Lord is opening your eyes today. I hope that he is opening your ears. Let he that has ears to hear, let him hear that the kingdom of God is at hand. You can have salvation. You can walk in freedom. You can walk in liberty. And when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will have peace, you will have joy, and you will have those things that you have never had in your life that the world cannot give you, and the world does not have it to give. And so when you open your eyes to see the salvation that is available to you, you will know then that you are walking in the light of the truth. Well, the fifth thing that Jesus said, he said, I came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Well, governments, evil governments all over the world are oppressing people. Evil governments and evil schemes of the enemy are oppressing people. And beloved, it's going to get much worse. It's not going to get better. We're not going to go back to the good old days of Father Knows Best and the Ed Sullivan Show. Beloved, the oppression of evil governments is going to get worse because the Antichrist is going to be controlling governments. And you see it in the USA unfolding before your very eyes right now, that evil governments are starting to oppress people and try to control people. And you will see this tendency of the spirit and the Antichrist start to control people all over the world in ways that they never imagined. And governments who are supposed to be the servant of the people and supposed to serve the people and bless the people and help the people and protect the people will become even more and more the oppressor of the people, and people will be moaning and crying and want out from under the yoke and the oppression of evil governments, and it will not come to pass. It will not be, because this is the ultimate plan of the New World Order. It's the ultimate plan of the spirit of the Antichrist, and it will eventually give rise to the Antichrist in the end time, and that will lead to the events of the Great Tribulation and the events that we see spoken of in Revelation chapter 6 to 19, the events of the tribulation. And so it will usher in the Antichrist, the false prophet, the mark of the beast, all those things that we read about in the book of Revelation. They will come to pass just as we read about them in that book. And so there will be an oppression, and people will not be able to shake that yoke. But Jesus said, even in the oppression that you are experiencing in the natural, that governments lay on you, and sometimes corporations lay on you, and sometimes your own family may lay on you, I can give you liberty. You can find freedom, and you can find joy. You don't have to let the devil steal your joy, even though there are lots of circumstances that we can look at and say there's nothing to be joyful about. There's nothing to have peace about. But Jesus said, I can give you liberty and freedom so that you can find joy even in the midst of these circumstances. Well, that's what Jesus prophesied about himself in Luke 4, verse 17. And again, those words were spoken by the prophet Isaiah many, many years before Jesus stood up in the temple and spoke that about himself. Well, in Matthew chapter 8, we'll turn there because there's many issues and circumstances in Matthew chapter 8 where Jesus shows himself unmistakably to be the Son of God, and he is showing himself to be powerful to heal people's sickness and infirmities. And Matthew chapter 8 verse 3, he said to the leper, because the leper had asked Jesus to heal him, and so the leper says in verse 2, and behold, the leper came and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then in verse 3, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Well, beloved, Jesus is willing today. He's just as willing. If you don't believe Jesus can heal you, you're probably not going to get a healing from him. Your faith needs to be inserted here. When you ask Jesus to heal you, you have to step out in faith. You need to insert your faith here and express your faith and say, Lord, I believe you can heal me. I believe if you are willing that you can heal me. And Jesus said, I am willing to this leper, and he's just as willing today as he was 2,000 years ago. Well, in verse 6, chapter 8, now we have a centurion. In verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion didn't think that he was worthy to have the Son of God step into his house and heal his servant. And so the centurion said, Lord, can you just send a word and see that my servant is healed? And Jesus was amazed at his faith. He was amazed that this man had the great faith to believe that Jesus could heal him from afar. He didn't have to lay his hands on him. He didn't have to go there physically and be in the presence of that servant to heal him. And so Jesus said in verse 10, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, he's saying the sons of the kingdom, he's saying those who don't believe in me, those who don't believe in my power to heal, they will be cast out into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's a description of hell right there. And then in verse 13, Jesus caps it off, and he said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that very same hour. And so Jesus spoke the word and said, go your way, because your servant has been healed according to your faith. And many times when Jesus healed people, he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Let it be done to you as your faith believes. And so this is a message for us today. Do you have faith to believe in the healing? Do you have faith to believe that Jesus has the power to heal you today? Without that faith, it's very, very difficult. Jesus can heal you, but without that faith, he's, I would say, less inclined to. And so it is important for you to exercise your faith. Insert your faith. Believe. Maybe you should cancel an appointment you have when you're relying strictly and solely on the natural remedies and the natural cures. maybe you should just step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to stay home and pray that day and see if I don't get better. See if you don't give me a healing. That's up to you. You have to insert your own faith and exercise your own faith and let the Holy Spirit speak to you as to how you want your body to be treated. Well, in verse 16, it says, when evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Well, that's a scripture from Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 4. And it is again spoken 800 years before Jesus walked this earth. Isaiah had a revelation of the Messiah coming, and he would be not just a Messiah to save us from our sins, he would also be the Messiah and the healer to save us from our sicknesses. And so he says, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And so Jesus was the healer. He showed himself to be the healer in that time, the same as he is today and forevermore. Well, I'm going to close today with a scripture from Mark chapter 2. Turn in your Bible over to Mark chapter 2. And the people have brought a paralytic on a stretcher. Four men have brought a paralytic on a stretcher to see Jesus, and the crowd was pressing in on Jesus. There was no room for the paralytic to come in through the door to see Jesus, and so they actually opened up the roof and brought the paralytic down through the roof. And Jesus saw their faith, and he commented about their faith. And the first thing that he said to the paralytic was, son, your sins are forgiven you. And all of the people standing around, the scribes and the religious people, said, who is this man that speaks that he can forgive sins? Who is this man? This is blasphemy against God that this man thinks that he can forgive sins. And in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, Jesus said, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or arise, take up your pallet, and walk. And then in verse 10, he says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this before. Well, beloved, right there, Jesus says about himself, I can forgive your sins, and to prove to you that I have power to forgive your sins, I'm going to tell this paralytic, this sick man, I'm going to tell him, take up his pallet and walk. And he took up his pallet and walked. And Jesus said, this is the proof that I have power to forgive sins. I'm going to say to this man, take up your pallet and walk. And to the amazement of all the people there, this man who was a paralytic took up his pallet and walked. And so many times sin causes sickness. Oftentimes we have sickness because of things we've done in our life that were not good, they were not right, they were poor choices, lack of wisdom, and sometimes they were just outright rebellion to God. We started doing things that were very destructive to our body and created sickness, but sometimes sickness doesn't come from sin. We have accidents that causes problems in our body, infirmity in our body, and so Jesus said, I have the power to forgive sins. In other words, I have power to give you salvation, and I also have the power to heal your body, and I'm going to show you I have that power by telling this man, take up your pallet and walk, and he did just that. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for all the many years that we have been bringing these messages to you, when we invite you to be a part of supporting this ministry. We invite you to be a part in helping the children in Kenya, the orphan children, go to school and have provision for food and clothing and shelter. And we invite you to be a part in helping us preach the gospel, the good news of the gospel. here in East Africa and across the USA through this radio broadcast. You can be a part of that. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you participate. You will be blessed. We will be blessed, and we can go forward with the power of the kingdom of God hand in hand with you. As you send, we go. As you send, we speak. And we thank the Lord for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.